The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. To find out how to know God personally, go to knowgod.org, K-N-O-W, knowgod.org.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Share this message with someone who needs to hear it.
Express your praise to God openly and loudly. Shout to the Lord.
Raised voices usually reflect passion, enthusiasm, verve. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie urges us to reflect that sentiment to God.
We rarely shout to the Lord, or we'll shout at our team, or we'll shout at the television set, or we'll shout at each other. But how often do we shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph? Verbalize your praise to God.
This is the day.
Just 6 years after Abe Lincoln declared the first fixed national Thanksgiving holiday in 1863, football became a permanent part of the holiday. Today, in many homes, there's a turkey in the oven, a flying pigskin on the tube, and a lot of expectations surrounding both. But how much of the day really focuses on the giving of thanks? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us recognize the importance of expressing gratitude to God with conviction and sincerity.
See now what the Bible says about Thanksgiving. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 100. And it's identified actually as a psalm of thanksgiving. So read along with me. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Powerful psalm. There's a lot there. Psalm 100 was originally given to the people of Israel, and we're looking at them together. They make the very long trek to the wilderness, ultimately arriving in the promised land. And the Lord said to them, when you enter into the promised land and settle down in your homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me, because I led you out of the wilderness and brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And this can happen very easily to us as well. You know, when we're in trouble, when we're facing crisis, oh, we call on the name of the Lord, don't we? But when things are going reasonably well, and the bills are paid, and everybody's healthy, and we have food in our stomach, oh, we can start to forget about God. So the Lord is saying, I want you to remember to give thanks to me. They needed a reminder, and we need a reminder too, where we receive communion together. That's a reminder that Jesus gave to us. He said, drink of this cup and eat of this bread. And why should we do it? He said, this do in remembrance of me. We all need reminders in life, and we might set an alarm to remind us to get up at a certain hour of the day, or we'll ask someone, hey, remind me to do this, or don't let me forget to do that. So this is a reminder, and who is this addressed to? Verse 5, to all the earth and to all generations. So this is not just addressed to Israel, it's addressed to all people and to all generations. It's to young people, it's to old people, it's to people in the middle. So this is a focus now on what we should be doing this time of the year. And there are five Thanksgiving commands. Five Thanksgiving commands. Here's Thanksgiving command number one. Express your praise to God openly and loudly. Express your praise to God openly and loudly. Verse one, shout to the Lord. Let's just do that together. Let's say hallelujah on the count of three. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Let's try it again, but twice as loud. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Ah, that's good. That's shouting to the Lord. Isn't that great? And we rarely shout to the Lord, or we'll shout at our team, or we'll shout at the television set, or we'll shout at each other. But how often do we shout to the Lord? Actually, it could be translated like a trumpet blast. The Bible tells us in Psalm 47:10, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. So really what we're told in the Bible to do is verbalize your praise to God. Just as you have to express your love and affection to your husband or wife and to your children and to your parents, so you should direct your praise to God verbally, because he wants to hear you say it out loud. You say, well, doesn't God know that I love him? Yes, he does. But we're also told specifically in scripture to verbalize our prayers and our praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And that's important because there are times that I don't want to shout praise to the Lord. I might be more in the mood to shout at God my complaints, but I'm told to do this, and sometimes it is a sacrifice to bring my praise to God, but I should do so anyway. And so that's Thanksgiving command number one. Thanksgiving command number two is to serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Look at verse two. That's what it says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Every Christian is called to service. Sometimes I think we falsely think that there are certain people that are, quote, called to ministry, end quote. Oh, they're called to be a pastor. That's their job. Oh, they're called to be a missionary. That's what they do. Or they're called to be a worship leader. Or they're called to hold a job over at the church. Well, no, that may be true, but every Christian is called to serve God because God has given spiritual gifts to every believer. We're all uniquely blessed by the Lord with special talents and gifts. There are natural talents that God gives us. Some people are naturally athletic. Some people are naturally clumsy, aren't they? Accident prone even. Some people are talented and they can perform music. They can play instruments. Other people think they're talented and they can perform music, but actually they can't at all. Some are artistic. Some are good at crunching numbers. Some people sort of are big picture people. Others are small picture people. But everybody has certain talents that God has given them. But then there are supernatural gifts that the Lord gives to us as well. Spiritual gifts, they're called. And we're to find those gifts, develop those gifts, and use those gifts in the church. In fact, over in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, Paul writes this, and you can turn there with me if you want, but it says, Paul writes, in his grace, God has given us different gifts to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, well, be encouraging. If it's giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, then take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Point number three, Thanksgiving command number three. You're a sheep, so follow your shepherd. You're a sheep, so follow your shepherd. Verse three, acknowledge the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. It is God Almighty who made you. It is God Almighty who sustained you. Everything you have, every breath you breathe, every beat of your heart is a gift from God. I love how this says, we are his. We are his. The Bible says that we are his workmanship created for good works. And that word workmanship comes from a Greek word poema, where we get our English word poem from. So I want you to think of it this way. You are God's poem. You are God's painting. You are God's song. You are God's sculpture. And you are a work in progress. So it's a beautiful thing to think about, that I'm someone that God is working in and through. But just so you don't get too high-minded, then I'm reminded also that I am also his sheep. Now, we don't have a lot of interaction with sheep in our culture today, but back in these days, there were sheep everywhere. People were very familiar with sheep. And there was one thing universally known about sheep, and that is that They're a relatively stupid animal. So when God says, you're my sheep, that's another way of saying, you're kind of an idiot. Yes, you're my poem. Yes, you're my song. Yes, you're my painting. Yes, you are my masterwork. But then again, you're my sheep. So you really need the shepherd. Sheep are relatively unintelligent creatures, skittish, easily frightened, slow to learn, prone to stray, and totally dependent on the guidance and protection of the shepherd. A sheep can't even protect itself. They don't have sharp teeth or claws. They can't even run fast. They're basically leg of lamb for the taking. They ought to just carry mint jelly around with them. You know, it's just, they are dependent upon the protection of the shepherd. So here's what it's simply saying. You're his sheep. And if you're a smart sheep, you'll follow your shepherd. And a smart sheep knows that the shepherd is always looking out for them. In other words, if God tells you to do something in his word, you know he says it to you because he loves you, right? And if God tells you not to do something in his word, you know he says that because he also loves you. He's looking out for your welfare. As Jesus said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. Listeners are finding faith in Christ by hearing these studies and reading God's Word, even in the most unlikely of places. This listener contacted us last Thanksgiving.
Pastor Greg, thank you for guiding me through the Bible. Your notes in the New Believer's Bible really helped me understand what I needed to understand. I was born to a religious family and even spent a year in seminary before eventually walking away from God. I spent more than 25 years away from Him. I'm currently serving a prison sentence in the state of Minnesota. While I was in county jail, I picked up a copy of your Bible. Between your study helps and a fantastic jail ministry team, my study of the Bible brought me back to belief. This morning, Thanksgiving Day, I caught a new beginning on the local radio station, and I really enjoyed listening to your sermon. On what could be a very depressing and lonely Thanksgiving day, I have so much to thank God for. This is the first Thanksgiving in which I can honestly look into myself and count all my blessings. I won't be defined by my past, but I will let God transform me into a new person. Thank you, and God bless.
If your life has changed through Pastor Greg's teaching, would you let us know? And when you get in touch, ask about our New Believer's Bible. Just drop Greg an email at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg is highlighting five Thanksgiving commands today as he presents his message, How to Have a Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving command number four, we should be an active part of the church. We should be an active part of the church. Look at verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they had their tent, also called a tabernacle, and they would worship God there. Ultimately, they built the temple in Jerusalem, ultimately built by Solomon. And there they encountered God. They would go into that inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, and there was the Ark of the Covenant given to them by God as a symbol of his very presence. Well, we're in the new covenant now. We no longer have to go into a temple to find God because the Bible actually tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord now lives inside of us. But the thing is this is a command to worship God with his people. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. This is something we're doing together. And I think that you know, because you're here at church, you understand that God manifests his presence in a special way when his people gather together. Jesus said, when two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I mean, right now, think about this. Jesus Christ is here. You might say, well, Greg, isn't he with me when I get in my car? Yes. Isn't he with me when I arrive at my house? Again, yes. Well, isn't he with me wherever I go? Yes, it's all true. But what I'm saying to you is he manifests his presence in a special way when God's people gather together. The Bible tells us that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So let's summarize what we've seen together. Number one, in the Psalm of Thanksgiving, we are to express our praise to God openly and loudly. Number two, we are to serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, we are a sheep, so we should follow our shepherd. And number four, we want to be an active part of his church. And now I want to come to 1 Corinthians 11:23 and close with the time that Jesus gave thanks. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. He writes, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. And on the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread," and underline this phrase, "he gave thanks to God." He gave thanks to God. "Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood.'" So we'll stop there. So Jesus was God. And because he was God, he was omniscient. And to be omniscient means you're all-knowing. Do you wish you were all-knowing? I don't wish I was. I think it'd be kind of depressing to know everything, to know the future, to know everything about every person, to know what you really think about me at this very moment as I stand here. You know, can he stop now? I'm really bored. I don't know. What do we really think? Jesus knew everything about everyone. He knew Judas would betray him, and he said so. He knew that he was about to be betrayed, and he talked about it. He knew that he would be beaten with a whip, and he predicted that. He knew he would be delivered to Pilate and over to Caiaphas and back to Pilate, and he knew he would be crucified on a cross. He knew it all. And so with complete understanding of the future, it's amazing when we read these words, "On the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God." Wait a second, Jesus. How can you give thanks to God knowing what is in your future? Surely you would recoil. And in a way, he did. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." But he gave thanks. Why? Because he knew what was about to be accomplished. He knew if there was no pain, there would be no gain. If there was no cross, there would be no glory. If there was no sacrifice, there would be no forgiveness. He knew it was going to be hard, but he knew what it would accomplish. And so he could give thanks. Hebrews 12 says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." Know this, when Jesus went to that cross, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of you. Well, Greg, is that really even technically true? Thinking of me? I mean, there's a lot of people in this earth, past and present and in the future. How could he be thinking of me? Well, newsflash, God can think about more than one thing at one time. He's very good at multitasking, actually. So yes, he loves the world. It says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But then Paul writes, "He loved me and he gave himself for me." So in a very real sense, when Jesus went to the cross, he was thinking of you by name, thinking of you, worshiping him, thinking of you in a relationship with him. And that was the joy that was set before him. He had to go through that valley, through that pain, but he knew what it would accomplish. Therefore, he gave thanks ahead of time. And you can do the same. Because right now, maybe you're in a situation where things aren't making sense and it's hard for you. And there's a lot of uncertainty, but you can still give thanks. You can give thanks because God loves you. You can give thanks because God is in control of your life. You can give thanks because God is good. You can give thanks because ultimately he will work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But Greg, I don't see the end yet. I know you don't, but you can still give thanks because God does see the end, and ultimately it's going to be good and you'll thank him later. But until that day, you can thank him now. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. It doesn't say give thanks to the Lord when you feel good. Because sometimes you feel good and sometimes you don't. Yes, Jesus gave thanks ahead of time because of what he was about to accomplish. And he was going to die there for the sins of the world, for your sins and for mine. And so here's what I would like to just say. If you don't have this relationship with God yet, you can have it right now. We've talked about hope. We've talked about happiness. We've talked about all that God does for us. But does Jesus Christ live inside of you? Do you know that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? And if you don't know that, why don't you make a commitment to Jesus right now? He died on the cross for your sin. He rose again from the dead. Now he stands at the door of your life and he knocks. And if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Let's all bow our heads. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and laying your life down for the joy that was set before you. And I pray now for every person here. If there's anyone that does not have a relationship with you, if there's anyone here that is not certain their sin is forgiven, if there's anyone here who does not have the confidence that they will go to heaven when they die, or they've not found that meaning and purpose in life that we found in you, Lord, we pray that this would be the moment that they believe and receive Jesus into their life. In your name, I pray. Amen.
An important prayer from Pastor Greg Laurie. And if you know you need to make a change today in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. But if you missed any part of today's study, you can catch up by going to harvest.org. Just look for the study called How to Have a Happy Thanksgiving. Or contact us for a permanent copy on CD by calling 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. People are talking about Pastor Greg's new movie, A Rush of Hope, a cinematic harvest crusade.
I was really impressed with it. I've never seen anything like this before.
It touched me just even watching it on the screen.
It's a beautiful piece of cinematic art. It's amazing.
The way he explains it, it's so simple, but yet so it holds so much weight.
A Rush of Hope, available now on DVD from A New Beginning. You can get it today. Pastor Greg, this is different than anything we've ever done before, isn't it?
That's right. You saw it online, most likely. Now you can own your own beautiful DVD copy that you can show wherever you want, whenever you want, to whoever you want. And this special DVD that we're offering, A Rush of Hope, also has some special added features like a little booklet. You can call it an evangelistic track with the title, Life's Most Important Questions, that you could give to someone to read. There's also a little flyer in here telling you how to host a watch party and show A Rush of Hope in your front room, in your backyard, or wherever you want as an outreach to people that are in your family or in your neighborhood. And so we want to send this special copy of A Rush of Hope to you for your gift of any size to help us finish 2020 strong. And let me say in advance, thanks so much for believing in this ministry. Thanks for investing in this ministry. And my hope and prayer is that some of you might become partners with us for the next year. Because when you partner with us, it enables us to reach even more people.
Yeah, that's right. So when you connect with us, ask about becoming a Harvest partner. And with your first gift as a Harvest partner, we'd like to thank you with this new DVD of A Rush of Hope.
Not only are we offering this on a DVD, but there's also a special digital download code we will provide for you. What that means is you'll have the DVD to show to whoever you want to show it to, but you can download it to your phone, you can download it to your tablet device or to your computer, and then watch it or show it whenever you want. Carry it around with you even, and you can have an evangelistic crusade in your pocket.
Yeah, there's really nothing else like it. And again, we'll send it to you to say thanks for your generous donation right now. So get in touch today at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300 anytime, 24 hours a day. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, a few moments ago, you spoke of the need to get our hearts right with God.
Mm-hmm.
Could you help someone who wants to do that right now?
Yes, I'd be delighted to. Listen, as you've listened to this program today, maybe something's been happening inside of your heart where you're sensing, I need to do this personally, but how do I do it and what do I do? Let me help you. It's very simple. In fact, it's so simple you may be shocked. God, this relationship with Him is just a prayer away. The Bible says, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you do just that. You call on the name of the Lord. This can be the moment where you change your eternal address, literally from hell to heaven. Just pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. Jesus, I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In your name I pray. Amen. I know. It's such a simple, short prayer. But you just called on the name of the Lord. And you know what? He heard that prayer. And if you meant that prayer in your heart, He answered that prayer. Now let me help you to get started on the right foot in your new life in Jesus Christ. The greatest adventure awaits you, the life of walking with God. I want to send you what we call a New Believer's Growth Pack that includes a New Believer's Bible and a whole lot more. And let me be the first to say to you, congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
And to get that free New Believer's Growth Pack, just ask for it if you prayed along with Pastor Greg to receive Christ today. We'll be glad to send one your way. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Well, next time, Pastor Greg returns to our study of the life of Moses called Water, Fire, Stone. We'll concentrate on stone, highlighting the practical application of the Ten Commandments, etched in stone by the finger of God. Join us next time for A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.